guys. Welcome to the 343 podcast. I am your host, John Pronich. Today, my guest is Kyle Gruno. And that name might not be familiar to many of you, but Kyle is a U.S. youth national team player. He grew up here in the United States over on the East Coast, bounces around from the Red Bulls Academy with Philadelphia Union, a couple other development academy teams, and has ultimately landed himself over in England at Leicester City. And on the podcast, we're accompanied by Jack Gidney. So some of you guys might remember my conversation with Jack Gidney from about a year ago when he first came on the podcast, and he gave us some insights on what it's like to make it from the United States to a European academy. Well, this is the perfect case study. Kyle did exactly that. And Kyle and I, we kind of talk about his history as a youth player here in the United States, what it was like for him to go on trial for the first time, what it was like going back and forth before ultimately getting into the team at Leicester. And also we talk about his experiences with the youth national team, playing under Hugo Perez, and basically just his day-to-day life as a youth footballer trying to make it. I think it's a very unique perspective. I think we hear from professional players, senior level players, quite often, and we never really hear the youth player that's in the mix right now. We hear a lot of people reminiscing about what it was like as a youth player, but we don't get to talk to or hear from the person that is living it day to day. And so that is why we wanted to bring Kyle on the show and have him talk a little bit about his experiences. Now, I will admit the call quality isn't great, and I think Jack has no problem with me blaming it on him, even though it might not be his fault. I'm just going to blame it on Jack. Sorry, Jack. If you can get past the call quality and kind of focus a little bit more on the content, I think that you'll really enjoy hearing Kyle talk about his experiences. So with that, let's just get right into the episode with Kyle Gruno. Real quick before we get into today's episode, I wanted to let you know that this is being brought to you by 343coaching.fm. That's the number 3, the number 4, the number 3, coaching.fm. Now, if you visit that website, you'll get access to the online coaching course and membership program. This is the only way to learn the 343 possession-based soccer methodology. There's a library of video, audio, ebooks, and there's also a member networking forum. So go ahead and visit 343coaching.fm. Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of the 343 podcast. Special guest today from over the Atlantic Ocean, actually, now, Kyle Gruno. Kyle, what's up, man? Kyle.
Hey, what's up?
You there?
Yeah, I just lost you for a second.
Okay. Well, how's it going, dude?
I'm all right. Thanks, yourself?
Doing good, doing good. We also have another special guest on the line with us. So this is a three-way call, but Jack Gidney is joining us for the second time on the 343 podcast. Jack, welcome back, man.
Jack. Hi, John. Thanks for having me back, mate.
All right.
Yep.
You there?
Yeah, I am indeed.
Okay. So Kyle, tell us a little bit about where you're at right now. So you're obviously not in the United States. So give everybody kind of an idea of where you're calling in from.
I'm currently at a Leicester City Football Club in England.
Okay. And let's see, my time right now, it's like 11:15 in the morning. So what is it over there?
It's 7 o'clock in the evening here.
Okay. And all right, so what happened today in Kyle's life? Are you just getting done with training? Just finished up eating? What's going on?
I've just been here at the house for a couple hours, having some downtime. But I had training this morning, a bit of education. After that, it was a light day, so I'm back at the house now, just relaxing, getting ready for tomorrow.
Okay. And when you say the house, is this like a house that just you live at, or do you live with other Leicester players? Or
It's called here they call it a digs, and it's I'm here with a bunch of like kids that are on my team, and I have a roommate, and yeah, we all live together, we eat together, you know, we go to training together, so we're one big family here.
Yeah, nice. Now, how far is that from where you train?
It's like a 5-minute walk. It's not that far.
Okay. Awesome. All right. So just so everybody kind of knows how this episode came about, Jack hit me up, let's see, what, like a week ago, Jack? Is that right?
Yeah, about, yeah, 4 or 5 days ago. Yeah.
We'll say 5 days or so. And let me know that, or kind of clued me in that this would be a good opportunity to talk to a player who's involved in European youth soccer, the youth national team here stateside, and part of a really cool story that a lot of people are following right now in top flight football, which is Leicester City's rise to the top of the Premier League. And actually, Kyle, I probably should have mentioned this in the pre-interview, but this isn't my first time interacting with you. I think I met your dad outside of a youth national team camp. We were both watching from the fence, and he introduced himself.
<All right. laughs>
And he introduced himself as your dad, and you guys had flown over from Jersey, and this is one of the times where I think you were playing for Hugo Perez down in LA,
yeah.
And so that was actually my first exposure to your name and your story. So I talked to your dad for I think about 30 minutes outside of StubHub Center. Which is pretty cool, and I've kind of followed your trajectory. I knew that Jack was your agent, and I've kind of followed your story for a little bit. But I think it's an interesting story, and I wanted to kind of tell people a little bit more about you and what it's like to be in the youth national team picture and part of the adventure of trying to get over to Europe. And that was what Jack and I originally talked about when he first came on the show, like a year ago. And I'll make sure I link to that podcast in the show notes as well. But yeah, so I kind of want to get a feel for the life of Kyle Gruno. So maybe talk a little bit about where you grew up, where you first saw soccer, and how you first kind of got involved with the game. All right, go
okay.
for it.
Yeah. I grew up in New Jersey, right outside of like Newark. Every sport. I played baseball. I played basketball. But my father was really into soccer, and he never really pushed me into it. I think I was the one that wanted to get into it more seriously. And I went to Arsenal, which is now it's world class, I believe, and I was there for I think just like a year, and I went to the Den of Lions in Newark, and I was playing with a bunch of kids who, you know, at the time were, in my opinion, greatest players ever played with. You know, you got guys on the team now that are playing for the national team, and you got guys that are playing in Brazil. So that group was a really, really special group for me, and I learned a lot playing for that team. And that team kind of set, you know, my whole career up, I think, in my opinion, because from there I went, you know, to the Red Bulls, and I was there for about 2 years, I think. And I left, and I went to PDA. I was playing for PDA for a couple of months. And then I went to the Philadelphia Union when they opened up that high school they had down there. So I was one of the first kids that were in that program they had, which was really good. And then I went on trials. While that was going on, I was going on trials in England. I was flying back and forth until, you know, eventually Leicester wanted to sign me. My bags, and I'm here now.
How many trips can you recall back and forth to England on trials, and maybe describe those experiences, like what was the emotion like before you got on the plane for the first time? What were you most afraid of, maybe?
The first time I went to my first trial, I think I was 13 going on 14, I think. And the only thing I was worried about was just, you know, getting on with all the other guys, you know, different culture, you know, they think Americans can't play, all this kind of stuff. But, you know, it wasn't really a problem. Once you get there, you feel settled in. You feel like you're part of the club for the time you're there. Because I knew I wanted to play in Europe and I really wanted to be here. You know, I was never really homesick. I'm never homesick, actually, because, you know, I know what I want to do. And I see something that I want to go get it.
Yeah, and then how many times did you have to go back and forth to Europe before Leicester eventually picked you up? I mean, was it one trial? Was it 100 trials? What was it?
I went back and forth, you know, to different clubs, I'd say about, you know, I want to say like 10 times around that. And I went to Leicester for about 2 weeks. Cause I remember I was at one club and they had an away game that weekend actually against Leicester. And I got on the coach and I got dropped off there and I was only supposed to be there for a week. But I ended up staying in England for about 3 weeks. So I was at one club and then I was at Leicester and then they wanted me to stay for 2 weeks. And then I went home and I think the day after I landed, they said they wanted me to come back after, the Christmas break to start. And I was, you know, I was over the moon.
And maybe when you say over the moon, How did they contact you? Was it a phone call, an email, and then what was your first reaction?
It was through I think it was an email that my dad got, and I had, you know, no idea at the time. I wasn't even in school, so as it came through, you know, my dad told me the news. You know, I didn't know what to do. I was kind of like, I better start packing then, because you know, I was excited. I couldn't wait to get started.
Who was the first person that you told?
The first person I told, probably my brother. I told him that I was leaving and I was going to England.
Nice. I kind of want to backtrack a little bit, and I want to figure out when exactly you got yourself into the U.S. youth national team picture. So I'm assuming that you were a part of the youth national team before you were on Leicester's radar.
Yeah.
When did that come about, and what team were you playing for at that time?
I was playing for the Red Bulls, and I got called into a 98 camp. So those were with, like, you know, Christian Pulisic, Danny Barbier, you know, those guys. I was one of the youngest kids in the camp. So I went in there and I was playing there for a bit, and I went to one camp and then something happened. I didn't back second camp. Apparently it was an age thing, and I was like, okay, fair enough. And then I went to the 99 camp with my age. And when I got in there, Hugo was the coach for that team. And then after that, you know, things just kind of took its path.
And I don't know how familiar you are with the podcast, but I've had Jack on as a guest. And I've also had Hugo on as a guest. So now it's kind of nice to have, you know, maybe like a full circle or a full picture of the agent, a coach, and now a player. What was it like playing under Hugo? And maybe not just Hugo, but what's it like being part of the national team picture? How is that different than what you were doing at Red Bulls, and What do you think that experience gave you going forward into your stuff at Leicester and other trials in England?
Yeah, I mean, Hugo was probably the best coach I played under. You know, he taught me so much. You know, and he taught us a style of play that I used, and it's helped me, you know, make it to like the club I'm at now. You know, because the clubs now, they want, you know, center backs that pass out of the back and you know, stuff like that. So Hugo really set me up for that. And you know, some at the time, you know, some of the stuff we were doing, you know, you scratched your head and you wondered, and then, you know, and 2 years later, you know, a coach is asking you to do it, and you know, you're like, you know, Hugo told me to do that. It was, you know, I remember we were playing against like under 18s, under 19s, and just, you know, passing it around them like it was nothing. You know, just because, you know, the style he taught us, it was just so easy to play under him. You know, you knew where your teammates were going to be. You knew where to pass the ball. And it was just awesome.
And when you say that you were playing against U18s and U19s, when you were playing for Hugo, you were U14 or U15?
Yeah, we were under 14s going on under 15s.
Okay. Yes, that's a big deal when you guys are going up against men, basically, when you guys are still looking like boys.
Yeah, it was really challenging, but you know, we won most of the games we played. I think we only lost one, and we shouldn't have lost. But every game we played in, we had 70% possession. You know, it was really fun to be a part of.
What were some of your favorite memories from that U14, U15 experience with Hugo? And again, not necessarily because it was with him, but, you know, like with your teammates, was it a place that you guys got to travel and go play at? What's something that stands out in your mind?
I think the first thing that stands out to me is our first international trip. It was, you know, everyone's first international trip as a group. So it would have been our first international game. And, you know, we again, you know, knowing Hugo, he's playing us up against kids that were older than us in an international tournament. And, you know, again, we played great soccer, you know, playing out of the back, and played the right way. But, you know, I think what killed us was just the physical side of it. I remember our first game was against Slovenia.
Kyle, are you there?
For us, which he understood. You know, the football was there. I think he knew that the physical side of the game was just going to come with age. But, you know, experiences like that, you know, playing against older kids in an international tournament really helps you, you know, your development as a player.
You kind of cut out there in the middle, but I think we got the gist of that. Where was that game at? Where was that first competition?
It was in Slovenia.
Okay, awesome. Jack, I want to kind of bring you back into the conversation real quick. You still there?
Yeah.
All right, there he is. When did you first see Kyle, and what about Kyle stood out to you?
Yeah, I first actually saw him when he was the only 99 in a 98 camp. and when you go and check out these camps or the rosters get released, you always, you know, the birth year is always the same. There's always one or two. So if they're prepared to bring one or two, you know, there must be something about the kid that's worthwhile. You look at the names through the years of people who've been called up into a camp. You know, even currently, you know, you look at the Juju's and the Kyles, and there are kids that there are names people know. They've always been the one that play up the year. So I got to see him a little bit, but he was playing with the B group in that camp. And then obviously when you see him in his own age group, the 99s, you know, I then started to watch him a bit more meticulously. But the first thing that stands out is, look, obviously Kyle's a big lad. I have to say that because he's scary big now. But when you watch him play, he's got a calmness about him on the ball that is you seldom find in a centre-back over here in Europe. You know, everybody raves about Piqué, and, you know, at the moment, John Stones is the guy everyone's talking about because it's such an unusual attribute for a centre-back to have. You know, I grew up watching Paul Scholes, you know, fortunately live, and Paul Scholes always had a quality that when he had the ball at his feet, it was almost like the game slowed down. And Kyle had that from centre-back as well. So when you pair that with the size of him, which, you know, whether we like it or not, it's something that you need if you want to be a defender in the Premier League. He's kind of got all the tools there. And he needed to be taught how to defend properly and how the game goes and play at the higher pace. But he stood out from a mile away just because what he could do with the ball from his position was phenomenal. It was like having a holding mid at right centre back.
And Kyle, back to you, man. Jack mentioned that, you know, size and the physicality is something that you need in order to make it in the Premier League. What is your goal? What's your mindset right now? What are you trying to do with soccer?
Even if it's 21s, especially for Leicester City, because it's a great setup.
Kyle, can you repeat that one more time? You guys cut out real quick.
Yeah. I just said that, you know, you want to play at a high level, and I want to, you know, be a Premiership defender, you know, and I'll do that, you know, the quickest way I can. So I just need to, you know, develop quickly.
And what's it like developing as a young player at Leicester? Maybe take us through the day to day, the training. Is there classroom sessions? Is there, you know, exercise away from the field? Your education as far as like schooling. What's it like being a player, a youth player at Leicester?
Yeah, you know, we train every day. We're in and around the first team, you know, every day. We have our own individual objectives that, you know, we set ourselves and the coaches set for us. You know, so for a striker, it'd be, you know, shooting with your left foot, you know. In my case, it's, you know, I want to work on, you know, offensive heading and stuff like that, you know. But you need to do it, you know, on your off time, you know, when you're not training, you know, just to stand out from the other guys on the team. If you really want to, you know, stand out and get a chance to play for the 21s or even go up to the first team.
And maybe talk a little bit about like your daily schedule. What time do you guys did you call it the digs? Is that what you called it?
Yeah. We'll wake up at around like 8 o'clock in the morning, have breakfast, and we'll have to be in at the training ground, you know, before 9 o'clock, in the gym on the bike, you know, ready to go. So we'll do like a morning kind of stretch, you know, and then we'll go out at around 10:30, train, and then we'll be in, have lunch. We'll probably do like a gym session, whether it's, you know, upper body or legs, or just like a body weight circuit. Then we can shower or you can stay, you know, and do your own kind of thing.
And what time do you normally call it a day? Like, when does Kyle Gruno go to bed?
Kind of go whenever you want.
Nice.
10 o'clock, 10 o'clock I'm in bed.
Good answer, Kyle.
Yeah.
That's what Jack wants to hear.
Yeah, that's what everyone wants to hear.
I'm really curious. I want your opinion as a youth player that's experienced both the American system and now the European system. What is something that you were missing here that you're now finding in England?
Probably just the intensity of a training session. You know, sometimes, you know, there was kids that I played with that, you know, the coaching was there, the idea was there, everything was there. It was just sometimes the kids that I was playing with, you know, they didn't want to be, you know, a soccer player. They didn't want to be a professional soccer player. You know, they had their eyes on other things, and that sometimes brought the training session down, and it brings, you know, your level kind of drops to their level sometimes. And, you know, if you're working hard and the guy next to you isn't working hard, then it's hard to get everything out of the session. When it's kind of like everyone wants the same thing. So it's kind of, you know, everyone's working hard for each other, and you get the most out of the training session, and you really learn.
You guys still there?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. The quality of the call is kind of cutting out, but I think that people are definitely going to be interested in listening to this, even though it's a little rough to follow along with. But what, again, I want to kind of talk about Leicester itself, and how Leicester and how you chose Leicester and why that is different than again the American system, and then also the England, the rest of the England clubs that you kind of went on trial with. So
yeah,
for people that aren't familiar with the backstory, I guess. You signed at Leicester how long ago?
I'd say 3 years ago now.
Okay, so 3 years ago. And what was Leicester's senior team like at that moment? Where were they at as far as top level? Or sorry,
they were championship, actually, you know.
And what was it like being part of their rise through promotion into the Premier League as a youth player? And I don't want you to fast forward all the way to right now, but maybe focus more on like the kind of like the crazy ride of going from championship to Premier League.
When I got there, they were already, because I kind of got there after the January transfer window. So they were top of the table, I remember. And it was just for them, it was just winning games. And, you know, there was different people coming into the club, different players, you know, players were leaving. And I think we were getting ready to go into the Premier League the next season. And we were, you know, getting players that we needed and making the squad stronger. And it was really exciting to be a part of, you know, because going to games and the atmosphere and, you know, just soaking it all in.
And now that Leicester is doing well in the Premier League, what is that like now? Maybe just kind of walking around town as a Leicester City player, or when you guys travel to other fields and you guys have to when you guys play against Manchester City's youth academy or Manchester United's youth academy, what is that experience like now?
It will always be the same, you know. I think even though the first team are at the top of the table, well, you know, they'll still kind of, people still look at us and think, you know, it's Leicester City, you know, they're a small club, you know. But we do surprise a couple of teams when we play them, especially, you know, teams like Tottenham, teams like, you know, even Southampton, teams that have good academies. It's just, you know, we go down there and we play really well against them. And the thing about the 18s and the youth league, it doesn't really matter where the first team is. It's just, you know, the type of academy they have, really.
What's one memory from your experience with Leicester's youth program that kind of stands out in your head, like maybe a victory or a moment?
I think it was the end of last season. We went to a tournament in France. And we were playing a year up as well.
And Do you, as a youth player, do you have communication with the first team coaches or, you know, the senior team? Is there, do you see the light at the end of the tunnel?
It's there. You see them around the training ground. You know, it's not one of those things where you kind of go up and speak to them, you know, because, you know. But they are there, so they're watching. I know they are watching. It's just a matter of just, you know, trying to perform.
And what can you do as a player to continue to be on their radar or stand out more or ensure your contract for next season and beyond?
It's the little things, in my opinion. I think it's, you know, the training sessions. You know, some people want to, you know, not do a training session, you know, to the highest level. And I think if you train well, you'll play well. And you know, the game will always be, you know, the biggest test. And you know, you just do your best in the games. And if you're training well and you're working hard, I think, you know, things will work out.
Definitely. And then I kind of want to end with this last question, maybe not. It's not even a question, but can you give some advice to players or parents or families that are looking to kind of go on a similar journey to what you and your family have experienced with getting you to a place like Leicester City and being part of the national team? What's something you can tell people that will help them along their journey?
Well, if you really want to be, you know, in Europe, if you really want to be on the national team and or part of the group or the pool. To play at a high level, you know, just work hard and good things will happen to people that work hard.
This is going to sound kind of funny, but you cut out right after you said what you were about to say. So it's going to be kind of like a mystery there for people that are listening, which I think is actually going to be kind of cool.
it's a mystery.
There you go. Well, Kyle, I want you to hang out and stay on the line real quick so we can finish up a chat. But for everybody listening, Kyle Gruno, more than happy to talk to you, and I'm really excited about the opportunity you have at Leicester, and I know a lot of people are rooting for you over here, and we'll continue to follow your journey, and hopefully we hear good news from you in the future, man. Thank you all for listening to another episode of the 343 podcast. Again, I want to apologize for the call quality, but I would like to say thank you to Kyle Gruno and Jack Gidney for the amazing content that they provided. Now, the conversation might have been a little shaky at times as far as the recording quality, but the topics that we covered were very interesting. I think it's great to get a perspective like we did from Kyle and also Jack, and I will make sure to link the episode that I had with Jack about a year ago in the show notes, so make sure you guys listen to that as well. And with that, a big thank you to everybody for supporting the podcast, a big thank you to the guests on today's show and in the past, and also to future guests that come on, just, you know, pre-thinking everybody. And with that, we'll call it quits for today, and we will catch you guys next time. All right, adios.